Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Morena Alice, how are you?
Morena Amelia, I'm great. I'm living, I'm laughing, I'm loving.
That's what we like to hear.
Labbing, I'm doing all the things that one does on a Tuesday in Tamaki Makaurau.
That's just honestly great news. We do love to hear that. We also are not alone. We've got the glorious Penny Ashton on the line. Kia ora, Penny, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm good, thank you very much. Yes, I don't know if I'm quite as filled with joy, which is a terrible way to open, but that just made me smile and be very happy for you, Alice.
Hooray!
Well, by the end of this, I'm sure you'll be feeling joy in your soul.
That's right.
What are we talking about this morning, Alice?
Yes, so we have got the very sparkly, lively, vivacious Penny Ashton, who, Penny, your show, Olive Copper Bottom, a Dickensian tale of love, Gin and the Pox, opening at Kew Theatre next week. Now, is this correct? You've done the show like 300 times?
Whoa. Yep, I have.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just a very big fan of doing a show every 4 or so years and then touring the ass off it as much as possible. I did that with Hot Pink Bits, which was my first show that I toured a lot. I did that similar amount. Promise and Promiscuity, my Austin one, I've done over 500 times.
Wow, that is incredible. Do you get sick of it, or do you just sort of find new ways to enjoy it, Penny, across that time?
Yeah, I honestly don't, which some people might be like, what? But no, and do you know what? Maybe this sounds arrogant, but I'm like, oh, this bit's really funny. I'm going to enjoy saying it. I wrote it, but it's hilarious, so hooray. And also there's usually quite a lot of audience participation. And my shows are kind of, I guess, they're theatre shows, but there's a very knowing nod at the audience. There's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall. So, you know, that sort of keeps it lively. I usually sort of touch audience members, but I'm having to come up with new jokes and ways of not getting near them and their germiness. So that's been sort of an interesting thing. And then, you know, I've got a Russian character in Olive, but she's not Russian anymore, so that sort of thing is keeping it. She's Latvian now. Latvian, you understand. So, you know,
keeping it fresh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Nice.
And do you know what? One thing I'm quite disappointed is that Olive Copperbottom is actually hugely around the control of women's bodies. And oh, look, that's become even more relevant now too. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'd like that one to get less relevant.
I know, especially because this is based in 1860s, you know, but it's like wildly pertinent when it comes to, because I have a hooker with a heart of gold. Her name is Fanny Purchase. And Fanny Purchase, sort of does this whole big speech about one day we'll have control of our own bodies, you know, and it's like, well, not yet.
That's why we love a bit of analogy in the theatre, don't we? Get
exactly.
us talking about these contemporary issues. Now, Penny, obviously you are an esteemed performer. You've toured literally the globe with all of your various bits and pieces in your shows. But tell us, this is probably, is this the first time you've performed the work in Kew since this sort of period of unrest, shall we say, over the last couple
shitness,
of years?
You mean shitness? I haven't done a show for 11 months.
Woo.
And I think the longest I haven't done that before was like when I was born to when I was 4. I live for the stage, but it's weird, right? It is weird because it is kind of confronting to think about the fact that being around a lot of people, I haven't done that, you know? And particularly before the show, like I'm so sick of my own company because I've been laying so low. You know, I've only been to one theatre show. I'm looking at gigs online going, I want to go. It's like this real sort of paradox to be in the live entertainment industry, and I got into it because I love it, but not be able to participate in it by being a consumer in case I get sick and then I can't do my show.
Yeah, so it's a real catch-22 type of situation at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, you can swear here, can't you?
Yes, after 9.
Yes, it's after 9. I love that. The watershed is 9 a.m.
Loosely.
It's a total head fuck.
You know,
it really is. Yeah, it really is. But, but you know, and then I don't want to say like I'm putting off people from coming. And that's one thing why I am absolutely mandating mask use in my shows. Yeah, you have to wear a mask. And you know, the hospo element is a bit tricky, but like as soon as you finish drinking, please put your mask back on because I don't want to catch it because I'm a little bit scared of long COVID, to be honest, because I haven't had it yet. Have you guys had it?
I've dodged
so
far.
No, I haven't.
Alice
well done us.
Has
well
been
done
less us. Lucky, unfortunately.
Oh. Unfortunately, I didn't dodge it, but I'm with you on that one, Penny. And I think having seen a few shows now wearing my mask, honestly, you forget. It's fine. It's honestly, yeah. it's so chill and cool, and it actually puts everyone at ease, I reckon.
That's it, you know, and to be honest, a lot of my audience with Austin and Dickens, you know, some people can see them as irrelevant, but they're bloody not, like particularly, you know, and you know, actually, sidebar, my Austin show is all about housing insecurity, like Sense and Sensibility that I also wrote an adaptation for the Court Theatre that was supposed to happen in April, is all about housing insecurity. And so my show, Promise and Promiscuity, borrows from that. And Dickens is, you know, so much about that, but as I say, particularly about control of women's bodies. But anyway, they're very relevant. But it does sometimes attract a bit of an older audience. Mm. So, you know, I have to be very careful of my audience. So that's why I'm like absolutely mandating them. Must be worn.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what? I got these really stylish ones. obviously, I won't be wearing one because that would be very difficult. But these Mask Lab ones that I've got.
Oh, yeah.
They're really comfortable and very stylish, which is very important.
Shout outs to my mum who got me some of those. So
they look cool. Absolutely, and yeah, and they've got, like, I did extensive research into their effectiveness, and they're really good. So yeah.
Penny, is this a show for the Dickensian lovers? Obviously, are the people that love Oliver and love, like, please, sir, can I have some more? Or who is your audience for this show?
Well, what I always try to do with both of these shows, I'm actually working on a Shakespeare show, so your introduction amused me, which is going to be called The Spinsterette.
Amazing.
And it's sort of a mashup of The Bachelor and various Shakespeares. But what I like to do is not alienate their core audience, because that would be silly. You know, so it's for people that love Dickens, absolutely. But if you don't know Dickens, it doesn't matter. For example, there is a character called Dick, and there are many jokes around that. You know, like there's a comedian called Willie Twist. So he talks like, "Hello, it's lovely to be here. Sorry, I'm not the contortionist. She had to quit. She couldn't make ends meet." And stuff like that. So there's a lot of that in there. There's quite a few pop culture references as well. There's actually a bit more of the pop culture in the Austin, which is funny enough. But yeah, so what I deliberately set out to do is to include everybody. To be honest, often husbands. Husbands are often, and I don't want to stereotype, but there's a reason I advertise to women on Facebook exclusively. They bring their husbands along, and so often though, women come up to me afterwards and go, "I should have brought my husband. He would have enjoyed those dick jokes," and stuff like that. So yeah, it's for the fans, but also if you don't know shit about shit, like my husband personally as well. Like when I did my Austin show for him, he was like, "Who does she end up with?" And if you know anything about Austin, you know exactly who she's going to end up with, the one who was a total dick at the start. So,
oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Anyway, it's for all of the above.
Oh, great.
All of the above.
Yeah, so Penny, the show opens next week. It's at Kew Theatre. It's a short run, right? You go Wednesday till Sunday, is that correct?
Yeah, I have actually added a show, which is exciting. I mean, I tell you what, if you want to try and build an audience, I highly suggest having four different dates over 9 months and do a build up to each one and then go, because it gets postponed. So this is our fourth go at putting it on, and Q's been really great. So I've had various audiences cling to my wagon from September until now. So we've added the Sunday show, so three of the shows are nearly sold out. Opening still got a bit of space, and I would love people to come to opening because it's a fundraiser for the aunties.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so 20% of all the profits and half of all the merch is going to the aunties from the opening show. Not profits of the take, because profits would be a little less. So that's what is going to them. So I'd love people to come to the opening and give the aunties some money. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Penny, for chatting to us about the show. Thank you also, Alice, always bringing us some fantastic theatre happening in the community.
Having seen Penny perform and performed alongside Penny over the years, you absolutely must go to this show. It is fabulous, and you will not regret it, and you will laugh and forget that the world even exists.
That's what we want. That is really what we want.
Can I just give another plug to something I've been working on, which is a podcast about menopause.
Ooh.
Which I know some of your audiences might be going, "Oh, I'm too young for this," but everybody needs to know about what happens to women, and this is another example of women's health being completely ignored.
Yes.
Like the shit that can happen to you in menopause that nobody knows about. There's 34 symptoms, including anxiety, so a lot of people go on antidepressants when really they should just look at their hormones. There's just it's called showy ovaries, because that's what an ultrasound technician recognition once said that I had when she was inspecting me from the inside. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like fallopian fingers, showy jazz hands. But anyway, and I've got lots of great women. I've got Robin Malcolm, Mariama Kamo.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so just go and check out. But I really just want women to know that yes. There's this whole world of shit that can happen to you, so find out about it. So
amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, Penny. Thank you so much, Alice. Have a lovely rest of your day. See
you. You too. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.